Senator Monroe.
Move the dash 13 amendments.
Senator Monroe has moved the dash 13 amendments to House Bill 3479. Discussion.
3201, isn't it?
The House Bill 3201. Discussion.
That's what you said.
Objections to that motion. So ordered. Okay. Chris, do you want to talk about the core bill? We have the A23s back, which fix the one problem that we had with just the core of the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there were the changes were primarily to the language located on pages 1661, referring to the phase out of the personal exemption credit. Basically, the largest problem was that the prior language actually rounded the personal exemption credit itself by $50, or to the nearest $50. And what was the intent was that the threshold amounts that you see listed there on the bottom of page 60 be rounded to $50. The other key piece was the effective date. And that's on line 16 on page 61. It applies to tax years beginning January 1, 2007. The earlier version had it at 2008. One other piece that pertains to House Bill 2172, there was some question in 2172B about the $3 million credit limit, and the Department of Revenue was concerned that they would be responsible for tracking that credit as people claimed it, and if that were the case, it would be kind of on a first-come, first-served basis, which isn't how most of the credits are done. So some language has been moved around to clarify that the Department of Environmental Quality only issues certifications up to $3 million per year. So as they're issuing them, once they hit that $3 million mark, then they stop, and then the taxpayers can claim them on the appropriate tax years. So those were the technical changes that were made this afternoon by Ledge Council.
Okay. Questions for Chris on the A23s?
Motion, Mr. Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Move the A23 amendments to 3201.
Senator Monroe has moved the A23 amendments to House Bill 3201. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Stark.
I'm going to support these amendments today because I understand the confines under which the chair has been ordered to operate. But in light of, I just put on the record that in light of the significant increases in revenue and available money that this legislature has to allocate this legislative session, I find it a little bit distasteful that we're actually raising taxes in this bill to, quote-unquote, pay for the good things that are in this bill. So having said that, I will support the bill.
Thank you. I appreciate support. Any objections to that motion? Senator Burdick, we are voting on the A23s, which are we've called the core amendment. It is the Betsy, Retsy, film and video, affordable housing, the personal exemption, and I think that and the diesel.
Betsy, Retsy, EIO. Okay. I'm in.
Any objections to that motion? So ordered. Since he's here, Representative Gilliam, we can now take up your amendment. And
what number is it?
I believe it's the A15s that you are advocating for.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to be here again today. And for the record, it's Vic Gilliam from District 18. And you're specifically, do you want some comment on the A15s more than what I had said earlier? Because I certainly wouldn't want to bore the committee again.
Actually, Senator Monroe, did you have any?
I have a question. Representative Gilliam, with your amendment included, are you a supporter of this entire package?
Chairman Deckard, Senator Monroe, as I understand it, yes, I am.
Thank you very much. If there's something you don't understand, I hope you check.
As you know, I'm here for the duration, and I will.
I know
the
that.
Break of the leg.
Just know that did not come from the chair of the committee. That came from Senator Monroe, that type of...
You have to understand, Representative Gilliam and I and our families have known each other for many decades. decades.
Yes, we certainly have, and this is not a surprise. It's a welcome question, and I do support it. I did leave a couple of things out in my testimony earlier. If that's not necessary, I will excuse myself.
We're about to move your amendments.
Thank you very much.
Senator Monroe.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, would you explain the sideboards on the Dash 15 amendment?
I believe the two major changes that were made, and Representative Gilliam executed these two changes from last week, were allowing for a local option and putting a time duration on the bill that you see before you, so that it narrowed this, didn't narrow the scope, but it certainly narrowed the audience to the state, allowing the county to have that discussion. And I believe you've talked to Clackamas County, or I know you have talked to Clackamas County. Senator Monroe.
Yes. So, if we approve this and if it goes all the way through, the Clackamas County Commission would have to approve this exemption before it would take effect. And in fact, the loss of revenue would be to that county, not to the state.
That is true. It's a property tax exemption, so it is property tax exemption, which is not...
Okay, and I understand that, and with that, I will be willing to support this amendment, and I would move the A15 amendments.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I suppose we're talking about Section 8, page 3, mm-hmm. as far as the clarification on that. Okay.
Representative Gilliam, do you want to come back and...
Well, that's the local option language, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with, I think that is where we get the clarification.
Section 10
is the ability of the county to decide. My concern is, I'm going to go back to the original concern, and that is, I don't think this egg processor is in trouble financially. We had targeted those dollars for, how should we say, folks that were having trouble surviving in the industry, and I'm a little uneasy about us deciding what the county is willing or will not do, even though that does help significantly. So I'm not going to tell you I'm going to vote because I haven't decided up to this point.
This will be a suspenseful one, although we don't have a motion at this point, so...
Yeah, you moved it.
I did move it.
Okay. Well, let's... further discussion. Any objections to moving the A-15s into House Bill 3201? The order. You kept us hanging.
I wanted to get on the record what I said about that.
Okay, Art Fish, do you want to come talk about the A-16s? These are from Representative Butler asked me to take a look at these as administrative amendments, but they were before us, the A-16s with... can you walk us through them very quickly?
Yes, Chair Decker. For the record, Art Fish, Business Incentives Coordinator, Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. Thank you, Chair Decker, members of the committee. Please take a look at the Dash A16s. They affect the program, a income tax exemption for facilities that locate in roughly 20 of the 36 counties are eligible to offer this exemption to facilities of companies that are doing new to Oregon operations. And if they do these new to Oregon operations and hire at least 5 people, they get an exemption on the income attributable to the facility. So that income gets removed from what the tax from what is taxed in Oregon, either corporate or as individuals with other types of non-corporate businesses. The bill before you, very simply, does 2 things. Sections 5 and 6 provide that the name of this program be established as one that we've developed for purposes of just making it, you know, snazzier sounding and so forth, and that is to call it the Oregon Investment Advantage. Goes by various other names of greater length and complexity, and so this will simplify things and provide for consistency through tax returns and statutes. The other part of the bill, Section 7, amends some of the requirements or the way they're organized respective to when companies, and we have about, you know, I should point out this program, which, you know, which is turning into a very good tool. It's only been around a few years, and the number of counties available to it was expanded in the 2005 session. Since then, the number of companies signing up for it has grown considerably. We're up to 16. There's been nobody actually use it yet, no impact on revenue yet. But as companies come in and get annually certified for the 10-year period that it's allowed, we wanted to provide some latitude because we have companies out there going, well, you know, what happens if I change, you know, I change from being a, you know, partnership or LLC to a corporation, or I outgrow my building and move across town, say in Ontario or something. How we were afraid that there was a lack of clarity and, in fact, some limitations that might be applied there that I think were contrary to the intent. So what the Section 7 does is it moves the piece there that's subsection 5B to subsection 6C to clarify that, you know, you still have to be reasonably similar to what you preliminarily certified for this program. And then in Section 7, that carries forward for how these companies are to be reviewed over the subsequent 10 years. And they have to maintain, you know, some continuity with their past projects, but subject to some rules, they could, for example, outgrow a building, move into a new building in the same town in an eligible area, and so forth. So that would be the extent of it, fairly technical provision here.
Questions for Mr. Fish on what looked to me like a very technical issue. Senator George.
Revenue stays the same?
I can't see any revenue impact. It just helps us to make this program more workable over the years to come.
Could be a positive. If
could.
You do a really outstanding. Senator Starr, did you?
I'm ready to move it.
Other questions?
Now, Mr. Chair, this was the amendment that Representative Butler was interested in.
Representative Butler asked me to take a look at this and checking with the department. It seemed like something that had slipped through and seemed like a good amendment to me.
Okay.
Thank you, Art.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash A-16 amendments.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash A-16 amendments to House Bill 3201. Discussion. Objections. So ordered. Okay, Michael Parker, do you want to come up and talk about the two different amendments we have on the college savings plan? So I believe we have an A24 and A22, if memory, 21. Parker.
Chair Decker, thank you. For the record, Michael Parker, Executive Director, Oregon College Savings Network. I believe there was distributed answers to Senator Monroe's questions about what one could save, what a person could save in the college savings plan, given various numbers. There are the two amendments, and just briefly, the A24, the Dash A24 amendments actually address the issue of the marriage penalty that we were initially asking for. The A21 amendments, which I'm not sure where they came from, address the issue of helping families of multiple beneficiaries. So that is the difference you see in these amendments.
Right. And our staff and the Treasurer's Office or the College Savings Plan both agree that the A24s are what was to be drafted.
That's correct. That the A24 amendments is what came out of our initial bill, House Bill 2462.
Right. Questions for Michael Parker on the A24s. Senator Monroe.
I appreciate the information. It looks like if we didn't change the law and if you invested the maximum for a full 18 years, you'd only have about $71,000 available. You know, 18 years from, I mean, that won't even buy much more than a year of college today. It certainly 18 years from now would be in trouble. So doubling that at least is going to be more helpful. So I will support the A24 amendment.
Ready for a motion?
I would be happy to move the A24 amendment to House Bill 3201.
Senator Monroe has moved the Dash A24 amendments to House Bill 3201. Discussion.
I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest because I'm a participant in the fund.
Oh.
I suppose I should too then, huh?
Please do. And
I have.
I do too. I declare what a good committee.
It's a good conflict of interest.
We all have 529 plans. Okay, further discussion. You're free to go, Michael.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the A24s. Any objections to adopting the A24s to 3201? So ordered. Okay, that takes care of a good portion. We will. I think we're going to have to go back to council, and I know that we've got folks from the affordable housing / mobile home community that are working on an amendment that is in council. We have our nurses aren't with us, but we need to discuss if that's going to be. There they are. Welcome back. Welcome back. So we will recess.
Mr. Chair, before you recess,
please.
Could I have an opportunity to vote on the A13 amendments?
Yes.
I gave a commitment on those, and I'd like to keep it.
Sure, it passed unanimously. So do we need to suspend the rules?
Will we suspend the rules for the purpose of a vote?
Senator George has moved that we suspend the rules to allow Senator Burdick to vote on the A13. Senator Burdick, how do you vote on the A13?
I vote aye.
Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Senator George.
Votes aye. They stay unanimous in the bill.
Are we going to do anything with A20s?
That's what I want to talk to you guys.
Okay.
So let's recess until 3:15. That gives us, we've got five bills up on the floor. Let's go 3:30. So we'll recess until.
Mr. Chair, I believe the Senate President said he would only need us very briefly at 2:30 just to gavel in and move the. And not actually pass any bills.
Not do the five bills that were remaining on the agenda.
Not going to do the five bills. We'll only be needed for maybe 15 minutes at 2:30.
Okay, that helps. Paul, what is your sense in terms of, we've got a council issue. We want to give people time to read the amendments.
3:00, game starts at 4.
He knows his chair, his committee. Do you think tomorrow? Do we need till tomorrow to?
We can make sure everything is in line.
Let's do that. Okay, so we'll just adjourn the committee. So thank you. We'll adjourn and reschedule the committee probably for same time tomorrow, 9:00 tomorrow. We are adjourned.